If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians has been called by some the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. We all now know how important it is to make sure that we don't mess with the essential nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul said? If I or an angel from heaven preach to you a gospel that is not in accordance to the word of God, if I or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what is grounded in the word, let that person be what? You bet. And yet, how many preachers play with the gospel? Send me the miracle holy water from Israel. God will give you money. It's a calling that our church has to be faithful to the scripture. Paul said that if I try to please God in my preaching, then I cannot be a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ. That's why I tell everybody, in my preaching, I do not fear man. Oh, and I've made people upset with my preaching. You got to fear God, because if you don't preach the gospel as it is written in the essential doctrine of the New Testament, you're in danger of spiritual damnation. Don't mess with the gospel. Well, where are preachers like Paul today? He's going to get really vexed today. He's going to shock you. I don't see many preachers like this anymore, but when Paul's done, by the time we get to verse 12, he's going to shock you again about people that come in. And what are the circumstances of what's happening in this church? Paul preached the gospel to a bunch of Gentiles of the fact that they did not have to follow the Mosaic law to be a follower of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Paul taught the Mosaic law was finished. It was a tutor. It instructed us in Messiah coming and our need for the cleansing through the coming of Messiah and His sacrifice on the cross. So what happened? A bunch of people came in who were Judaizers. They came from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the headquarters of all the Judaizers. And they said, you bunch of Gentiles, you dogs, you goyim, get under the Moses law if you're going to follow the Messiah. And they began to practice all sorts of things. Men had to be circumcised. They began to keep all of the Jewish holidays. And if you're going to follow the Jewish Messiah, you've got to become a good follower of Moses. You know what Paul said to people like that? If you teach that, let them be damned. Of course, we don't have that today. Yes, we do. Rabbi the Khan calls himself rabbi. Have you known what Jesus said? Here he says, I'm a messianic person that believes in Jesus. He calls himself rabbi. What did the Bible say? What did Jesus say about calling someone rabbi? Who's got Matthew 23:9? Who will read it? I think it's 23:9. I'm taking a guess. I know it's 23, but who's got it? I think it's 23:9 or 10. It's dangerous, my kind of preaching. Let me see. Wait, 23. Seven. Well, in fact, let's start with Let's start with what Jesus said in verse 2. Who's going to read it for me? Rick, are you going to do that? 23:2 and following. So what do? Keep going.
For they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves are unwilling to move them for so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they rob their
phylacteries. That's their little prayer book on their head. And for a show and a pretense, they wanted everybody to know how religious they were. Jesus said, when you pray, where do you go? We need closeted Christians. What did they do next? That's not my church. Everybody sits far away from the preacher. Look at it. Go ahead. And they love to be called what?
Rabbi.
And what does Jesus say about someone that calls himself rabbi? What does he say? Do not what? Do not what? Read it, Rick.
And respectful beings in the marketplace and by being called rabbi.
Do not be called in verse 8 what? You mean to tell me you follow Jesus and you call yourself rabbi? Rabbi Khan is a con. Another thing, this Shemitah year, I'm really vexed with this because I get this in popular Christian circles. There's a church in Oxnard that's telling people to do all of the Jewish holidays. Get under the law of Moses. It's finished. By the way, Shemitah, year of Jubilee, is all anchored in Moses. There is no such thing anymore. So they're following things that they don't even know the word of God about. He calls himself rabbi. Well, you know, there's the equivalent, the goy, Gentile equivalent of that, doctor. Same thing. Same thing. Then they have groups that like to call their priest father. What does Jesus say about that? Do not be called what? Bible sheds a lot of light on what they do. And Paul says, if you mess with the gospel, let you be what? Damned. Oh, he's going to get really whooped up this morning. They get into these Shemitah years. I looked up his church. They're keeping all of the old Mosaic holidays. And Paul says here in 5:1, it is for freedom from what? The Mosaic law. Even Gentile churches still fall for this kind of stuff. And by the way, blood moons, you heard this? It's from Kabbalah Judaism. It's occult. It's hogwash. What does this Rabbi Khan do? He cons people into putting them under the law of Moses. Run from that kind of stuff. Use the word of God to defeat that kind of thinking. Let's go back to Galatians, where Paul preaches the word. It was for freedom, 5:1, that Christ set us free. He's not talking about political freedom. He's not talking about any kind of freedom. They had slaves in those days. Many of the people he's writing to may have been slaves. Christ freed you from one thing, and that is justification through the law of Moses. It could never justify, Paul said, keeping the law of Moses. By the way, just so you understand this, many of you think, well, you know, what about the Ten Commandments? Well, 9 of the 10 are repeated in the New Testament. We are under the law of Christ, which is the law of love. If you follow that, you'll keep God's moral law, which is above the Ten Commandments. But Moses' law was a unit. Jewish people did not think, well, there's ceremonial, legislative, judicial, and moral, and they can keep parts of it. Here is what the deal is with Moses' law. You keep it all. Every last thing. So if you go into a church where they're keeping some of Moses, Paul said they're under a curse. Because if you keep some, that's not good enough. It said in Deuteronomy that they had to keep it all. So you can't pick and choose what you want. You like the Ten Commandments? You can't stop there. You better keep Saturday Sabbath. And there are churches now that are doing this. It's nuts. Why do churches do this? Because they aren't students of God's Word. Because somebody says, here's a book by a preacher, you read it. I tell you, get in the Word of God and read it, and you'll find out that all of this that's going on with these Shemitah years, and this Rabbi Khan, Jesus said, call no man what? And he Judaizes his congregation. And I'll tell you something, if they're keeping parts of the Moses law, they better do it what? All. Christ set us free from this. Therefore, stand firm. So what do churches do? They don't stand firm. Why do churches not stand firm? Because they're not teaching God's word. As a preacher, I have no authority. It's a priesthood of all believers. Do you know that? Do you know there is no professional class of clergy? Did you know that? I have no authority unless I anchor what I say in the clear teaching of God's word. And if it's not in the word of God, you disregard it. If I ever tell you something that is not anchored in the word of God, then you know it's just an opinion and you can go walk away from it. And if God's people would do more of that and say, preacher, how dare you? Where is that in the word of God? And then you know what preachers will do? In this right, Cheryl, they'll say, don't you question me or our denomination. Well, if it's not in the word of God, you question it. You are put free and stand firm. And if you go back to any of this, here's what Paul says. You are again in the yoke of slavery. What did Jesus say in Matthew 23? See, many of these Pharisees believed in Jesus after the apostles preached the resurrection. But guess what they couldn't give up? Many of these, it says, many of the Pharisees believed in him, it says in Acts. But you know what they couldn't give up? Moses. So they went out to these churches of Paul and put them into a yoke of slavery to Moses. Paul says, don't let it happen. Stand firm. I don't want to ever see our people believing all of these things about blood moons and Shemitah. It's occult. And believe me, if you think I'm bluffing, I've done the research. I study these things. It's part of my job at the seminary. To know. Behold, I say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of some benefit to you. They went in and started preaching, get under the law of Moses, and here's what we want you to do. If you're going to follow the Jewish Messiah, all of you guys have to have the sign of circumcision to be saved. That's like churches that preach unless you're baptized. Baptism will never save you. Circumcision will never save you. It's the grace of our Lord through Jesus Christ. That is it. Grace of God working through love, as Paul said. And it says, if you go down thinking you can be justified by works, Christ is of no benefit to you. You'll never be declared righteous before God. God doesn't play with stuff like that. You better be careful in who you listen to as a preacher. I don't know how many congregations are being deceived by preachers. By the way, can I be honest with you? Anybody can get on the internet and get a certificate. You can buy certificates and become a part of some denomination for $350. Most preachers Anybody can be a preacher. It's not like physicians where you have to qualify with board qualifications. So there's a lot of charlatans out there. My favorite program, it's coming back, The X-Files, the truth is out there. What? And especially these guys, because they can get up and they hold their Bible. I love it. They hold their Bible, they have a tie on. Suit, horse blanket suit usually. And they do a psychological operation on people. They think, well, this man's holding his Bible. He must... They're horse blanket salesmen. Look away and imagine that guy in his underwear, and it will completely remove any authority that that bozo has. The authority of a preacher is in the Word of God and that he follows it. It says here, if you receive circumcision, Christ is of no benefit to you. By the way, that's the same thing if you keep Shemitah and if you follow the blood moons. Run from it. It's from hell. And I testify, every man who receives circumcision, he is under obligation to what? It's either all or none. It's not part. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth. Moses merely pointed to him. Moses was a nice man. He's gone. He's a servant, as Hebrews says. Hebrews 3, Christ is a son. You follow what Jesus said. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Any true believer that goes back to law isn't a true believer. I'm going to show you what that says. I'm going to show you this. John says that a true believer has a built-in lie detector, a witness of the Spirit to know better than to do something like this. But what the church people do? Oh, well, he wrote a book on the Shemitah here and the blood moons and all. We got to be scared of September because of this. This is nonsense. My people perish for lack of what? For we through the Spirit by faith. There it is. You know what the Spirit means? The new covenant. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. If there's a new covenant, that must mean there was a what covenant? An old covenant. It's gone. By the way, nothing ever replaces the new covenant. It's eternal, Hebrews says. This is how Jesus formed his church, through the new covenant in his blood. Nothing will ever replace it. And therefore, the principle we live by is being born again by the Spirit in verse 5 and walking by faith and love and waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but what? Faith working through love. Keep it simple, stupid. In my profession, I am appalled. Systematic theology is really a detriment in many senses. Guys, as I've told you, write 12 volumes of systematic theology trying to put it together. It's all their own opinion. Here is what the Bible says. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, working through how? Love. Somebody read for me 1 Peter 4:7. Who's got 1 Peter 4:8? Sorry, 4:8. Got to be careful. 4:8. One verse can mess up the whole thing. What does 1 Peter 4:8 say? Who's got it? Rick, you got it? You were falling asleep on me. Got to wake you up. Love does what? So if it's faith working through love, and love covers a multitude of sin, you know what that says? That the principle we do in our church is this. A lot of us are going to irritate each other, aren't we? A lot of us are going to have... We need to know that love covers a multitude of sin. when Jesus was dealing with the disciples, his love, those boys were dense. Jesus didn't always rebuke them. He worked with them. We need to work with each other because that's the essence of what we're under. Faith and love. That is the law of Christ we're going to find out that Paul in 6:3 is going to talk about. And then in verse 7, you were running well. How were they running well? They lived in the grace of Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. And then somebody came into their church, sounded really good. That's what you got to be careful of with these preachers. A lot of them can sound really good. I tell you, you listen to what I have to say and you search the Word of God to find out if I'm right. You think I'm saying the truth is out there, trust no one but me? I'm sorry, but if you want to stay true to Jesus, you need to be in the Word, questioning everything I say and every preacher says to know if it stacks up against the Word. A lot of people don't want to do that. They'd rather just sit back and let the preacher tell them what to think. That's why churches are in trouble. And then they get a radio program. And they ring bells and tell people things and everybody, okay, well, he must be right. So I'll keep Pentecost and I'll keep those things. And Paul would just shake his head, you have fallen from Christ. Are you an idiot, Paul would say. Rabbi con. Yeah, he's a rabbi and he's a con, all right. Now look at verse 8. I want you to notice something. Look what Paul says in verse 8 of chapter 5. This persuasion to keep Shemitah, to keep blood moons, to keep the law, to be circumcised, you can be sure of one thing. What does he say in verse 8? This persuasion did not come from whom? Now there are two sources of doctrine and only two sources of doctrine. It's either the Spirit of God or it's demonic lie. John talks about this in 1 John 4. That there were many false prophets that went out and they were teaching doctrines of demons. Now listen to me. If anyone wants to confuse the church, it's the enemy of God's people, Satan himself. You can be sure of one thing. When you depart into Shemitah year, you depart into with Rabbi Khan, you depart into doing any of these things, it's not just stupid people. Behind false doctrine, wrong teaching. And by the way, what's wrong teaching? Anything that's not in the plain, simple sense of God's Word. If it's not in the Word of God and you follow it, you better be careful because it could well have a demonic source. That's why Paul says, if I, for an angel from heaven, preach to you a messed up gospel, let him be what? Damned, because you're dealing with the devil himself on this. It says this persuasion to keep Moses in any way did not come from him who calls you. God will not contradict His Word. God does not play games. If it is contrary to the Word of God, it isn't from God. That's just the truth. How much is being taught there, out there, that isn't from God? And can the church even recognize it? I know what most churches do. Well, we're going to give you our Sunday school lesson, and we're going to tell you what you should think because the preacher's going to tell you what to think. Any preacher that tells you, I'm going to tell you what to think, you better watch that preacher. What you think is what the Word of God teaches. God's people need a spirit of rebellion in them from the Holy Spirit that says, I will only follow what the Word of God says. And if that preacher is not preaching what the Word of God says, walk away from it. Don't sit there and say that preacher's a good man, he's just a little confused. Get out. Again, Paul says, all of this teaching did not come from God who calls you. And look what he says. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does he mean by that? You cannot go down the road on some of this stuff without the whole church being destroyed. You ever? I don't bake. I don't cook. My girls now wouldn't let me near the kitchen. Officer does. But you know what leaven does. Put a little bit in, and in a few days, what happens? It multiplies. So what is Paul is saying is, the moment you begin to tolerate the least little bit of this kind of teaching, Shemitah year, and all of this kind of stuff that Rabbi the Khan teaches, and he calls himself Rabbi, that Jesus said don't do, you start going down that road just a little bit, guess what happens, Paul says. The whole church will be infiltrated quickly. You can't play with this stuff. You can't be tolerant. Sorry, I'm for a lot of tolerance. Jesus was tolerant of sinners. But you can't be tolerant of teaching that doesn't come from God, because he said it's like you put a little bit of that teaching in, soon, just like leaven goes throughout the whole lump of flour, you're going to be in trouble. You got to stop it before it starts. Now, that means a preacher's got to be a little rough sometimes. But so many people are being fooled by a lot of stuff going on with the harbinger and all of this hogwash. It's no wonder God's church gets in trouble with this, because they don't listen to the word. I have, in verse 10, confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, what view, than what he's put forth, that you're saved by God's grace, that you walk in love, you trust Jesus, and you are freed completely and entirely from the law of Moses. But the one who is... Now watch now what he talks about when preachers preach this way. You say, Pastor Dave, why... I don't know if I should call myself pastor, but Dave, why in the wide world do you preach this way? You know, you get a little rough with these people. Yeah, I do. Because my concern and care for my people because of these false shepherds. And if he was standing here, the Rabbi, the Khan, I'd tell him that. I'm not afraid. I get myself into a lot of trouble. Mostly trouble. Look what it said. But the one who is disturbing you shall bear his what? You know what God is saying? God is not mocked. You don't preach the word of God in its plain normal sense. Guess what you're facing, Shemitah year, Khan? What are you facing? Judgment. Judgment. See, I live by one principle. I don't fear the people. You can get mad at me. I fear God. And there's one thing I don't want to face. You can get mad at me, have a board meeting, and vote me out. That's fine. But I don't want to upset God in what I preach. I don't fear men. I fear God. And I must warn my congregation that people that preach anything but what is in the Word of God and the freedom in Christ, you face judgment. He will be judged whoever he is. And you who are being disturbed better know that God is not favoring that. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the Christ has been abolished. Listen to me. When you preach the word of God, to the unsaved mind, it's going to be nonsense. Because it takes the Spirit of God to know the mind of God. And it's only through the pure preaching of God's word that God's Spirit works in unsaved people to convert them to a true understanding of God's word. Now, watch how Paul ends this. Boy, you think you will never see a preacher who fills the Houston Rocket Dome preach this way. Look what he says, and I want to tell you the true meaning of what Paul says. I'll tell you how disturbed Paul is. He says that these guys that come in are going to be judged, and guess what he says? Look at verse 12. This is shocking, except the Bible is very plain and honest. Look what he says. Would those who trouble you, telling you to get circumcised and get under Moses, would they even mutilate themselves? Now, wait a second. I want to know what your translation says. Okay, now you have to understand, every good Jewish boy under law of Moses, when he was a baby, at 8 days after birth, was circumcised. A bris by the Moel or something they call it. And the little baby wouldn't remember because he was too little to remember, but here's what he's saying by the word mutilate. Would that every one of those people that are telling you to be circumcised take that same circumcision knife. You ready? Boy, Paul doesn't mess. Boy, he's not politically correct, and it is really rough. He says, take that knife, and what did the word say? Emasculate. He wants them to cut something off. That's literally what it says. Now, why would Paul say that? Because it's so important to preach the true gospel. And he's saying, if they mess with you on that kind of thing, let them take their circumcision knife and let it slip on their certain part. Does that shock you? Well, excuse me, I'm a Victorian Christian. I don't talk in that way. I'll tell you something. You mess with the gospel, Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach to you a gospel that is different from the grace of Jesus Christ, let him be what? And here's what he says to all the circumcisers. Cut it off. I hope you cut your own off. How dare you, preacher? How dare you talk like that? That's what Paul is saying here. You know why you don't see that? Because they've softened the language of the New Testament here because they don't want to offend you. How do you like that? How many knew that that's what Paul was saying when you read that? Well, you go to the women's Bible study, so they do a pretty good job sometimes. That's what he's saying! That's how important it is for us to know the Word of God in it. I'll tell you what he'd say to these people that are preaching Shemitah year and all of this blood moon hogwash. You know what he'd say? Go mutilate yourself. Do not teach my people those things. Wow, what a preacher Paul was. No wonder they beat him up. You know what happened to Paul? He'd go into synagogue. He'd preach the freedom of Jesus Christ, the grace of God. And they'd say, well, Paul, you're such a great preacher. You know what they'd do? They stoned him. They threw him out. They did everything they could to the guy. But you know what? He stayed true to Jesus Christ. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Do not let these bozos ever enslave you to anything but what the pure Word of God teaches. And many churches have been Judaized today. And Paul would just be absolutely appalled. They had fallen from grace. They had separated themselves from Christ because Christ set you free. For by grace you are saved, what? Through faith. And that is not of yourself. It is a what? Wow, Paul, you really got upset.